All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sam's DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, May 22nd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had a four-game early MLB slate get underway. We have a five-game MLB main slate later this evening. We had golf tee off earlier today as well. We have a single NBA showdown and a single NHL showdown. So a ton of DFS action coming at you all day long. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I am one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. As a reminder, no Friday or Saturday show this week. This will be the last Office Hours of the week. And then we do have the Build Review show going live in an hour at 5 p.m. Eastern as well. So it should be a fun one here. Do have some people signed up for the Build Review show. All right, let's get SaberSim up here. Let's get into questions. Had a couple of questions come in prior to the show. So we will start with those. And let's get off this golf slate since that already locked. Go over to the upcoming, four game now. I think one of the games got postponed. So four game MLB main slate later this evening. But first question today, can you explain what factors into the Sim 99% profit metric on Flashback that causes it to be higher or lower? And then what might be an adjustment to a build slash pull that would increase this metric if MLB? Okay, good question. So let's go back to say yesterday. We'll go back to yesterday's MLB main slate. So first we'll just like talk about what this metric does, why it's important, and kind of how it works. So let's go into yesterday's main slate and we'll go into the contest tab. And we will let these contests load. So let's go into just the flagship. Not pulling up. Okay. Oh, that's right. We got to click down here. In case you guys ever do that, in case you guys click like the default one, it doesn't work. You got to go into the grayed out list here. It will work, just so you guys know. All right. We go into the flagship. We're going to look at people. Let's say people who entered 20 or more lineups. Okay. We go by SimRY. All right. So number of different entries here kind of up at the top. Now, the column in question is this Sim 99% profit column, okay? In my experience, this is partially correlated to the number of lineups you enter, right? Like Sim 99% profit is lower for the top user, but he entered 43. And then it jumps up to the user with 150, and then it comes down to the user with 25. Right. So there is some correlation here. But what I notice, right, is that in these examples, it's almost about a third. So you could do like a little bit of a ratio here where it's like, okay, this person entered 43 lineups and their 99% profit is 14, right? Okay. So then you do 43 divided by 14. That's about a 3-to-1 value, okay? And then we do the person who entered 150 divided by 48. Now, this is the same, right? About like a 3-to-1 ratio. So we could do this across the board, right? Person that does 25 and then like 8 is like kind of the same here, right? So what I'm getting at is like, okay, you enter less entries. You're like, maybe you come in here and you're like, oh, my Sim 99 profit is a lot lower. Well, it's actually scaling the same. So what I would do is I would like look at the top 150 maxers, figure out what their ratio of like lineups to Sim 99% profit value is, and then use that ratio to judge yourself. Like don't compare your 99% profit when you enter less lineups to like a maxer. Compare your you know, ratio scaled, right? And they're like, oh, okay, I'm pretty on track. If I was maxing this out, I'd be right in the same ballpark, okay? So that's one thing to note. Another thing to note, right? So maybe you are this user over here, right? Losing it all. And they have 20 lineups, but their sim 99% profit is like about 2,000, where the G money, who entered 25, is like 8,000, right? So this person isn't scaling the same. Their ratio is like 10 to 1 and instead of like 3 to 1, right? So there's some things that impact this. Just to explain it a little bit better, you know how like we pull up like a player graph, right? And they have like a distribution and then we describe it with the percentiles, right? So that's effectively what's happening here. Each user has a profit graph in the contest sim. We take all of their outcomes and then we put them from, you know, least money one to most. Their 99% profit is the amount of money they win in the sims 1% of the time. Okay. So if we had 100,000 sims, we would start at 100,000, which is the most money they won, and we would go down. We're running 100,000 sims, right? So whatever that number is at the 99,000 mark from high to low, that is what their 99% profit is. So that would be like their 99th percentile. So that's what this is, okay? Now, I've seen where users who play high correlated lineups and play less uniques have higher sim 99% profits. And the reason for that is because when they're winning in the sim, they have a lot of lineups that are coming in the top, right? They might be taking first and second. They might be taking three out of the top 10 or something like that, right? So those numbers up at the top are very, very concentrated. And sometimes you can even see it where they're 99% profit is like higher than first place, right? That's because they're taking first, they're taking second, they're taking third, right? You see this a little bit more in some smaller sports like League of Legends, where the contests aren't as big and some people play very high correlated stacks. So that's something you might see, right? High correlation, low diversity is something that impacts sim 99th profit. But in general, right, those are the things you want to be looking for. Your ratio compared to like the top users, if you're entering less, correlation is a big factor there. And if your sim 99% profit is a little bit lower, I would be, you know, kind of comparing my lineups to the users that are doing good and looking at what they're doing different compared to what I'm doing different, and try and find any differences that you think can be making a big impact, right? So those are the things I'd be looking out for. Those are the things that catch my attention here. Kind of interesting, right? I think this user, they have a super high sim average score. So I think they're entering like cash type lineups here, where they grade out really well on average, but my assumption is like they're probably not super well stacked. So they're just lacking like GPP upside, even though they have really high sim average scores. So my guess is that these are cashy type of lineups, but it's just my speculation. All right. Good question there to get us started. Next question. Are MLB post contest sim ROIs lower this year compared to similar contests last year? Or am I just imagining this? I don't remember exactly what they were, but I do know MLB is a little bit of a lower, has like a little bit lower sim ROIs compared to like basketball or like to NFL. I think that's because stacking is so important. I think the field knows that, and like almost everybody is stacking. There's probably very few percentage of users in your contest that like aren't stacking, in at least like this day and age in DFS. So I think contests end up being a little bit tougher. Sim ROI ends up being a little bit lower, but there's still decent sim ROIs here. You know, we're seeing double digit sim ROIs, right? Like 10 to 20% range. Contests matter too, right? I've seen the 50 cent mini max be like really hard. I've seen some of like the larger 20 maxes be really good, you know, in like the 20s, 30s, 40s. So contest format matters. That's why I've talked about in the past, like, hey, if you're trying to figure out, you know, what type of contest you should play or where you should allocate your bankroll, like sometimes looking in flashback can help you decide, right? You come in, maybe you have like $75 to $80. You're trying to figure out whether I should play the $4 20 max or the 50 cent mini max. Okay. Well, I come into the $4 20 max. I look at maxers. Okay. Highest MROI, 27%, multiple players in like the 10 to 20 range. Okay. So I get an idea of SIM ROIs there, which effectively is like your expected profit over time, right? And then we go to the 50 cent mini max, $5 difference in entry fees. And then I go over to users and I look at maxers, and the top SIM ROI is 10%, and then a lot of single digit ROIs, right? So here, if I had to make a recommendation, even though you get more lineups in the mini max, in my opinion, it ends up not being as good of a contest to play, because the SIM ROIs achieved here are lower. So if I had to, you know, figure out where are my dollars best spent, I would be spending them in the $4 20 max, even if that means getting to less lineups, right? So that is another way to use flashback here that I think can be important. All right. Good question there. Next one up for MLB, is paying attention to value important at all anymore? Good question. So let's go back to today. And we're going to go back to this 5 a.m. upcoming slate. All right. So in my opinion, right, value matters when players are normally distributed, right? This is why in basketball, value matters a ton, is because players usually have pretty close to like a bell-shaped curve type of distribution. So pitchers relate the most closely to that, right? We see that nice bell shape here. So in my opinion, value matters for pitchers a lot more than it matters for batters, right? We go take the highest projected batter today. Well, their range of outcomes is like this tail to the right. You know, it's kind of missing the other side of the curve and looks a lot different, right? I mean, Julio Rodriguez, highest percent of SIM outcome is 0.25% of the time, right? And then we go and we look at, you know, Flaherty, who we were looking at before, he's getting 0.04% of the time. His most likely outcome, 14%. Is like 17-ish points, which is like around his projection. So these players perform at a very different, I'd say, like consistency, right? Their consistencies are a lot different based on their position. So in my opinion, it ends up mattering more for pitchers, ends up mattering less for batters. And then I've seen good lineups take kind of a similar path in flashback, at least like when I've studied it. You know, value tends to matter. If like you're fading the high value pitchers, your lineups typically don't grade out as strongly from the reviews I've done. All right. Another good question there. With that said, let's jump into a build review. So got this 4-game upcoming slate here. We are going to do an ultimate review first here. So 4-game slate, I'm inclined to leave min salary where it is. I would still probably turn on the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. I think there's enough available pitchers to do that. I might set up like a little, I could do a filter. I could just check these pitchers in. I probably don't want to consider relievers just yet, even though they're getting some ownership here, right? We see they have like 0.25, 0.53. I'm not super inclined to use them. I don't think Koenig is starting. I think he's just a high salary reliever. So that's what's going on here. Let's see. Let's update these projections. All right. Still missing lineups for two teams. So This is a quick side note because I've seen this come up. Let's say that, you know, it's getting pretty close to lock and all the lineups are out for the games. These three games all start within 5 minutes of the slate lock. And then there's one game that starts later, right? Well, let's say that this lineup never comes out. Don't wait as long as you possibly can for the lineup to come out, right? Because all of the information that's needed at slate lock is already out. So I would say it is safe to build once all these teams have check marks, these six teams, right? If anything changes, if you have Julio Rodriguez and they give him the day off, if you have, you know, Randy Rosarena or whoever, right? You can always late swap out of those lineups, right? You can quick swap, you can late swap. But the worst thing that you can do is rush yourself trying to wait as long as possible and like risk not getting your entries in on time, right? Or you could do a build where you get your lineups in with that information. And then if that other information comes out, then you just do a rebuild, but you never have to worry about not having lineups in, right? So very important. You know, and then from there, you could wait for any additional information to come out. You can rebuild, or you can wait till after those games start and simply late swap or quick swap out of any players who might not be playing anymore. Okay, so that's my big advice there. You know, missing log is obviously the worst thing you can do. So if we could avoid that situation, super, super important. All right, we're going to kick off this build. And we're going to let these lineups run. Move some columns around in the meantime. So while this build. All right, these lineups are still rolling here because we're doing this ultimate demo. So built a full 5,000. And lineups are finishing up now. Should be loading in the pool. All right. So after this finishes, contest sim will auto run because I have the run contest sim automatically after build toggle turned on in the build settings there. That will be remembered for any future similar type slates, right? If I get onto tomorrow's classic slate, it will be remembered. I don't think it carries over to showdowns, but if you turn it on for a showdown, it'll carry to a showdown. And then it's also sport. So I think it's sport and slate specific exactly. But either way, sim runs, sorting metric automatically changes. I was having a conversation with somebody about this yesterday where, hey, when the sim runs, the master sorting metric, whether you're in direct fill or auto fill, will switch to the contest sim ROI. Okay. So that will automatically happen there. Now, I don't need this average salary one. That was something we were doing for NBA Showdown. But I do want an ROI one. So I have projection. I have ROI. I'm going to sort by exposure here. And got my exposure, got my leverage. So one thing to note on smaller slates, okay, is that we haven't done this yet, but we might see this. I'm just prefacing it. When we change uniques, sometimes we're actually going to see the projection go up. And it's mostly because the builder, it might be fading some of the higher run total teams because their ownership is so concentrated on a smaller slate. And taking shots on maybe, you know, good teams, but lower team totals, right? Maybe instead of playing Atlanta, it's playing Pittsburgh. Maybe instead of playing, you know, Seattle, it's playing Detroit, right? So these teams, Pittsburgh and Detroit, are going to have lower projections. So the average projection might be lower, but then once we start diversifying, we start working, telling the builder to spread out, and it starts re-including some of these higher teams, we might actually see our projection go up. Okay, that is something that happens. So I just want you guys to be aware of it, right? Like right now, Cleveland is our highest exposed team at 14 out of 20 lineups. Well, they're, you know, tied with three other teams for the lowest projected runs. So I'm like almost positive when we start diversifying, we start getting off of Cleveland. Well, there's kind of no other way to go other than up, right? So let's just try this out. I just want to let you guys know about that, because I know we talk about watching your projection, right, as it changes. So works a little bit different on these smaller slates. But either way, let's go from one unique to two. I'd say ROI is like going to be a little bit more important here to watch. Okay, so we're at like 85.5, 138 ROI. Go to three uniques. Okay, looks good. Go to four. And I actually want to go over to all. Okay, we go up to five. Okay, so ROI is still only down about 7%, which is great, going from one unique to five. Get up to six. ROI down a little bit more. Still seems okay. 19%. Go up to seven. Okay, bigger jump to ROI here. Notice projection has gone up a little more than like half a point, not that much. But now's a pretty good time. Okay, so big jump between six and seven. Where do I kind of want to be at, right? Do I want to be at six? Do I want to be at seven? So I'm going to look at my batters first. 40% exposure to a few batters here. We see two double-digit leverages and then a lot of like, leverage in like the 20% range and then more leverages in like the 10 to 20% range. Doesn't seem like we're too concentrated on any one team. We have a couple Washington batters, a couple Houstons. We're getting a lot of Jose Ramirez, but I think these are like going to be more like one-offs almost, which, you know, he's pretty good hitter if you guys are familiar with baseball. So I don't hate this here, right? I might switch back real quick to six just to see what the differences are. And at six, we're a lot more concentrated, right? 60% CJ Abrams, 55% J-Ram, but then it drops to 30. So this one is like a lot more concentrated on these two hitters in particular. In my opinion, right, kind of going back to like the consistency discussion we were having earlier with hitters, you know, me personally, I'd like to be at seven here to keep those hitters a little bit lower. We jump over to pitchers, really flat at pitcher, except for one stand on Trevor Williams. I can look at what six looks like as well, right? We're just comparing. Not huge change, right? Our top exposure was 40%. Now it's 45. You know, I still kind of like seven here, right? I'm trying to figure out which way I want to go. And the more I look at this, the more I think seven is a little bit better. And it stacks. Okay, still a lot of big stacks. 4-2s, 5-2s, some 3-2-2s, some 5s, 5-3s. And then, yeah, we're getting the 40% Washington. But, yeah, I would go with seven here. Personally, I think this is a lot better. So that's what I would be doing. You know, I'd basically be done at this point, right? I'd be ready to save these lineups and upload them to my contest. So that's what I'd be doing here if I was building on Ultimate. Now, let's say I'm building on Starter, right, for the same slate. Okay, we go back to one unique. And I'm just trying to shrink this. And we go to Saber Score. Okay, so four games is going to be small slate, right? Say 10K to 50K should be pretty common. And we're going to get rid of this ROI metric. Just going to stick with average projection. All right, so we come here, right? We scroll down. Last lineup is number 20 here, which is perfect. So we see a lot of high leverages. So again, we're going to start with the uniques, right? Start cranking this up. I'm just going to jump to five here. We go from 85.5 projection up to 86.5. So if you went up a whole point, that's expected. But then now this is where the rank of your lineups in your pool is going to get really important, right? Because we're not actually dropping that much projection, but we do still want to kind of understand how far down in our pool we're going. And at five uniques, we're at lineup 84, right? We talk about staying in the top like 25 to 50% of your pool when using Saber Score. Again, check out these leverages, right? Still some high leverages to some batters, like 50%, 40%. So I might try and go to six. Let's see where that takes me here rank-wise. So rank-wise, I get to 191, 167, 151. Okay, so I definitely wouldn't go past six, right? I'm going to try and figure out, hey, do I want to be at six or do I want to be at five, right? Because we're approaching that 50% marker here, and we kind of want to try and stay under that if possible. So leverages look pretty good. Two 20%ers, a lot of 10%ers, which is what we saw with the ultimate, right? This time it's O'Neal Cruz and CJ Abrams. Cruz is a little bit different name. We did see Abrams earlier. Here we're getting to some leverage on the colors, not that much on the pitcher side. So pretty flat, seems okay. Still getting good stacks, 5.3s, 4.4s, 5.2s are like all at the top. 40% Washington stacks. We saw that on both Ultimate and now SaberScore. So I like this six number a lot more than I do the five. It keeps some of those batter exposures down. We're still getting good stacks, and we're still taking a couple stands on some pitchers here. But if I were building on starter, right, this is what I would be wanting to do is, you know, still using a lot of the same tools, just using them in a slightly different way. And, you know, looking at a couple different things with like our pool count and things like that. So those are the differences between Ultimate Starter and how I'd be building on each individual plan. Whew. All right. Taking a peek in the Discord. Looks like we're caught up there and we are caught up here in the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back in about 30 minutes for the build review show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.